Amen. You guys can have a seat. I am pumped to be back preaching at Revive, but I feel like worship was fire tonight. Can we give it up for our worship team? Guys, it's always difficult. One of my preaching superheroes that I get to work with, we have something at Christ Place that meets during the week, and it's called Classic Worship. And what it is, it's just that it's normally for a lot of our senior adults, and they'll come in on Wednesday mornings when, again, all of those retired folk have nothing else better to do. And we'll do a service called Classic Worship, and we do like a bunch of timeless hymns, and they're still preaching and teaching for a lot of these old folks. But one of my good buddies, he had to follow an old hymn, How Great Thou Art, which, again, goat. Everybody was seated down, and then they all stood up halfway through the song, and I just texted them and said, good luck following that, and then I left. So it's really hard, but also a huge blessing to be able to follow just a time where we can just fully give the Lord surrender with open arms and open hearts to say, Lord, you are our living hope, and we're super thankful for what you've done in our life. But I'm thankful last week as well for Pastor Jeff coming in and taking the brunt of the book of Revelation. So that means he got all of your hard questions, and I got none of them, so I'm very thankful for that. But we're going to be starting a new series tonight called Foundations 101. And I made the comment about, for you as college students, especially you freshmen, a lot of your courses look like that. There's the 101, like English 1101, there's Anatomy 1101, and so forth. But Foundations 101 is where we're going to be for the next few weeks, and really we're studying foundational truths for our belief in Christ. So we're going to be diving into what we believe as Christians, what the Bible says about the core of our belief system. So tonight we're talking about sin. In the future, next week we're talking about baptism, we're talking about sanctification, justification. I'm really excited to be able to talk about the Bible and why the Bible is true, how we can trust it, and really the importance of understanding Scripture to be kind of our, again, foundation of our belief. So it's going to better help us to own our faith. So the goal of this whole series is for us to get our foundation solid so that you and I, that you can better own your faith. So just to give some kind of meat on the bones of why we're doing this, turn to Matthew 7 if you've got your Bible, and if not, it's on the screen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27 says, everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And so for us today, this is really the importance of why we want to make sure that our foundation is set on Christ and that we truly understand what we believe and why we believe it. If we do not have a solid foundation, our life will be just like the house on the sand that as soon as we hit a storm, as soon as somebody asks us a hard question, as soon as a family member passes away, and as soon as we fail out of college, whatever it might be, as soon as we hit that storm or get put in just a small bind, our house is going to be just like that, built on the sand, and we're going to crumble. So for us, as believers in the room today, I want every single Christian in here and that you know, for us to understand that having a biblical foundation is vital. The safety of your life and my life is vital to have a strong foundation. You've heard it said before that you're either in a storm, leaving a storm, or about to go into a storm, but we are always interacting with storms. So for us, we want to make sure that no matter when the storm comes or if it's currently going on, that we are prepared with a firm foundation based on what God's word says. So again, the goal is for us to own your faith. And again, life's never easy, but another thing about a lot of these foundational truths is that sometimes they need a deeper conversation. I'm going to do my very best for us to together go into some Bible study and do some good work in just really studying what God's word says and what God's truth is on some of these foundations. But sometimes there's more questions that you might have. Sometimes there's a deeper conversation that to kind of give some clarity in some regard. So I want to put a QR code up on the screen. This is our Instagram. It sounds really not personal, but we're going to do our best to say if you've got questions, if you've got maybe some deeper insight that you're looking for on any of our topics or even just something that you're separately going through in your life, please DM us or reach out to our Instagram or any of our staff. We'd love to either personally connect with you we'd love to maybe even put something on social media, may it be a reel or kind of a short that would help answer some of those questions. Or if we have a lot of questions kind of surrounding the similar thread or theme, we might even, myself and Ann or Caleb and some of our team, put out like a short 10 to 15 minute podcast like we do our sermons each week on the internet. So we really want this to be a tool that helps you grow closer to the Lord. We never want anything, especially in God's word, to add to confusion. So that's why we want to be clear and only from God's word in where we draw and root our foundation. But again, with that being said, our main passage tonight is going to be Romans chapter 1. So turn to Romans chapter 1. And before we start to read, I need to give a fair warning. We're talking about sin. And sometimes if you've ever heard anybody mention sin, it's always with like the squint and a big finger, and they're just like yelling at people. And they're just like, you're the worst, you're the worst. And unfortunately, we're going to talk about how, to our core, we are all sinners. But my hope is to not be super condemning, because I'm just as much of a sinner as you. But I want us to see, when we understand the foundational doctrine of sin, that yes, we are dirty, rotten sinners, but I don't want us to stay in defeat, but rather I want us to use the mindset that we are broken sinners to point us to how good God's grace is and how much mercy he has showed us. But to start on a high note, you guys said there's a key to unlock some of the special information. I talked to some guys on the way in, and they said that they loved a few weeks ago when the guys did like the big hoo. So in order to start on a good note, I see a head shaking here. We're going to do it. You can participate if you want. But on the count of three, guys, I need you to do the manly thing that you know and just give the hoo, okay? Just like we've done before. So ready? One, two, three, hoo. There we go. All right. The good news is that I have loved being here every single Thursday, and you guys have become my family. And so I want to update you on a family matter. My wife, Natalie, is pregnant. She is with child, and we're excited. So to give good news, the baby that we're also not going to be figuring out the gender until it's born, so be praying for me because I love answers and I have to wait a long time to get answer. But the baby is due on March 18th, which is a Wednesday. So I'll be seeing you all on March 19th on a Thursday, so be excited for that. I'm just kidding. We'll see when that happens and what happens there. But if Natalie has anything to say about it, probably not be here on the 19th, but I'll give a better replacement than myself. But I say that because you guys are my family. And when I think about my family and things that I want y'all to know about me, almost every week, we talk about a good movie reference. And today, we're talking about the greatest movie of all time. Yeah, greatest movie of all time. I'm standing on this one. And when we talk about sin, oftentimes we think about perfection. Talk about perfection, and sin is really any act of not being perfect to God's standard. And when I think about perfection, I think about Remember the Titans. Can I get a witness? Anybody like Remember the Titans? There we go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, Remember the Titans. For those of you who have no idea what it is and absolutely do not care, it is the greatest movie of all time. Again, it's the GOAT movie. And it's based in the mid-1900s, really when schools were integrating. So there was a white school and a black school in Virginia that had integrated. And the story of Remember the Titans is really the story of this football team. Again, it's a movie. But this football team coming together and the whole race battle in that town, it's kind of solved because their football team was good. But in this scene, they're just kind of become one team, and there was a fight, a race fight, like in the kind of summer camp, football camp, which for the nerds in here, it was actually at Berry College. So shout out Berry. When they went to Gettysburg, it was actually at Berry University. But they were throwing hands, and then the coach, Denzel Washington, brought them together and gave the speech about perfection. He lined them all up. There was, you know, beaten and battered and bruised. And he said this. He says, "We will be perfect in every aspect of the game. If you drop a pass, you run a mile. You miss a blocking assignment, you will run a mile. And you fumble the football, and I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts, and then you will run a mile." Perfection. He sits in silence. Let's everybody want to run through a wall, not a mall. And he goes, Let's go to work. And so today, one, because of sin and perfection, but two, because work is good. And I say that because our residents were taught by our executive pastor on Tuesday about how work, oftentimes we can associate work with a really bad thing. Because we're like, oh, it drains me. Oh, I hate it. Oh, people are rude. I hate work. Let me tell you something. God's word is clear. When Adam was made before the fall of man, there was work. So sin makes all things bad, but work is not inherently bad. So work is good. Work happened in creation. So work is good. So when I say let's go to work, we're going to dive in. We're going to do some work today on what God's word says about the doctrine of sin. So let's go to work. Hopefully you have found Romans 1. We're going to read, we're going to flip a few pages here and there, but let's read our passage for the night. Starting in verse 18, we're going to read all the way through verse 25, and then we're going to skip down and read verse 32. So Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up into the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then verse 32, the end of the chapter. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And so for us today, for us to truly understand sin, we need to understand what it affects and how we don't need to necessarily see this and automatically feel defeat. We need to look at this, understand it, understand that at our core, which we will tonight, we are all broken sinners. But because of Jesus, we understand how good God's grace and his mercy truly is. So in this passage, it's going to guide us through, but our first point is sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. And because of sin, we are separated. And again, defining sin, I can give two definitions. One, to use our perfection word, it's missing God's standard of perfection. Missing God's standard of perfection. And then later in Scripture, we will also see sin can also be trading the God that we know for the God that we choose. So trading the God that we know for the worldly God that we choose, which is what they're also doing here in this passage. And if you want to flip over, and again, I said we do some flipping, and again, if not, it'll be on the screens. Romans 5:12 answers a question that many of you might be thinking now when you hear the word sin. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. And this answers the question that many of you have asked, and I've been asked a lot, and I've even wrestled with this question of, it's like, but God, I'm way better than Adam. I wouldn't have sinned. I would have been perfect. He just ruined it for mankind. I wouldn't have. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case. God's word is very clear that although Adam was the one who, you know, we all kind of hate in the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, every single one of us, man or woman in this room, we are all sinners to the core. So there is no justifying it, no blame pushing, none of that. We are all sinners and every bit of us are sinners. And that verse gives us the deeper understanding because it reminds us that even though we were not in the Garden of Eden and ate the apple like Adam, we are two sinners to the core. So God and sin simply don't mix. God's standard was perfection and without sin. So just like oil and water, sin and God cannot coexist. So at that point, the relationship with man, Adam and Eve, but again, us even today, and God, that relationship is unfortunately broken. And looking in our verse today, let's go to verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they indeed became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So Paul, which is the author of this book, Romans, is talking about those who know God, but have sinful and dark hearts, and they choose their way versus God's way. So today you might be in here like myself, and you might be looking and turning to different things that might be easier, might be culturally maybe a little bit more encouraged, or you might be doing a bunch of things in secrecy or in dark, but that would go against what God's word says. And you would be similar, like myself, to these people in this passage of, I know who God is, but I'm choosing to allow the darkness and sin in my heart to drive what I do rather than God and God's word to drive what I do. And so God loves us, and we often choose sin in the darkness rather than what God has set before us. Reading 22 through 25 again, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And oftentimes, I want us to say, sometimes we see they. In this regard, think about us too. So include yourself in this. Claiming to be wise, we became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up, gave us up to the lusts of our heart, to impurity, to the dishonoring of our bodies amongst ourselves, because we exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. So again, Paul is walking through kind of the same doctrine here that we talked about with creation. So creation, you got Adam and Eve and everything is perfect, and they choose to exchange the perfection and the harmonious relationship with all-powerful perfection that they had with Creator God of the universe, and they exchanged it for what they chose, which in this case is eating of that tree, but it's sin. And we are no different. You're like, Luke, well, I'm allergic to apples. I can't eat apples. I can't sin. It's like, well, unfortunately, once again, we sin every single day. We trade following the Lord for pursuing relationships. We trade following the Lord for pursuing status, following the Lord for pursuing money, following the Lord for going and feeling numb based off of doing this, that, or the other. Whatever it might be, every single day, the sin in our heart drives us to sin. And so we are sinners to our core. And if you also look throughout really this whole passage, you see a lot of God gave them ups. God gave them up to the lust of their heart. God gave them up to the desires of their heart. And so I don't want us to see this and be like, oh, it's God's fault. Think about that one thing that you fought your parents for. I got to meet Christian Dunn's parents, and so I'm not going to look it over there so they don't look at him and all these things. But, you know, what was that one thing that you always just begged for at Christmas? That one thing that it took maybe years for your parents to let you have, and you're like, Mom, I need this. I need this Xbox, this iPad, this iPod, these Beats, whatever it might have been. It's like, I need this. I need this. For my sister, again, the one who smacked herself in the face we talked about a few weeks ago, my sister, she loved American Girl dolls. And so for her, it was, she wanted like a million of those things. Had the one that looked like her, wanted to be looked like all of her friends. It was crazy. It's a money pit, pyramid scheme. But you think about that, and it's, Mom, can I please? Dad, can I please? Mom, can I please? Dad, can I please? And they know that thing is going to collect dust. They know that thing's a waste of money. They know that thing's going to break. It's going to go into a corner. It's going to end up at Goodwill. Someone else is going to buy it. They're going to realize it's stupid. They're going to take it to Goodwill. And the cycle is just going to completely go and go again. But eventually, they're just going to give you up to your own begging vices. Yes, you can have this, whatever. And what does it do? Sits, collects dust, it breaks, it's crappy, or it ends up at Goodwill. Whatever it is for you, think about that you remember from your childhood. And now think about our Heavenly Father who knows us so well. He knows us, He loves us, He cares about us. But every single day we look at Him and we mock Him with the sin in our life. And just like this scripture, eventually it's like, you want to sin, just sin, sin. And I'm not saying this is an encouragement. I'm not saying this is something that He gives us a desire to do. But because of our flesh and our brokenness, we are sinners to the core. As our worldly desires will never fulfill and never satisfy, but since we are sinners to that core, God gives us up to the lusts of our heart. So the first point, sin separates us from God. Our second point is that we are all guilty of sin. We are all guilty of sin. And we know multiple places in Scripture that will remind us of this guilt. And again, we just read about it in 24 and 25 here in Romans 1 about God giving us up to the lusts of our heart, and that reminds us that we are sinners. But flip your page, maybe one page, and look at Romans 3, verse 10. None is righteous, no, not one. And then, again, for me, it's another flip, but on Romans 3:23, Romans 3:23, let me find it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all guilty of sin. No, no, not one. There is no one righteous. There is no one that is sinless. No, not one. And so we know that we are all guilty of sin. Every single day, you look at me, you look at my thoughts. If you had a free ticket into my brain, you look at my actions. If you guys followed me around and stalked me, you would see sin written all over my life. And the same would be true for you. on the walls of our heart and on the windows of our life, sin is everywhere. And to give a picture of this, was anybody allowed to? Because I say that in the first service, only one person. That's kind of like one person was locked into this. Anybody grow up watching SpongeBob? Way better. There we go. So in SpongeBob, only the first few seasons are good. So the latter ones, not as good. So I'm older than you guys. So the ones that I'm used to are much better. But there's an episode, SpongeBob and Patrick, they were stranded and they built a campfire and they were hungry and they wanted food. But luckily, SpongeBob had two chocolate bars. And he's like, pulls them out. He gives one to himself, obviously, and he gives one to his best friend, Patrick. And Patrick goes, I think I'll eat it now. Eats it. Waits a second because he's a dumb idiot starfish. And then I think I'll eat it now. Bites his hand. And then for the rest of the episode, they are arguing about if SpongeBob stole this candy bar. And again, there's a picture on the screen to show the situation. That is the scene that I want you to see. Very well nourished. Patrick Starr with what around his mouth? Chocolate. He's got chocolate around his mouth. And you guys did not wake up today thinking you'd see that at Revive at the 8 o'clock service, but you have. So here's what I'm saying. It is written all over his face that he ate that chocolate bar. And as dumb as this illustration is, I want you to know that our life looks just as stupid when we sit here and try to say, God, I'm not guilty. I did not sin. There's no speck of imperfection in my life. And we sit there bloated, hunched over, sin all over our life, just like Patrick Starr. So for us today, yep, just like that. We are the same with our sin. You look at any of our lives, you, me, lost believer in Christ, all of our lives show the guilt that sin brings. We are all guilty of sin. No matter how many YouTube videos you watch of cool apologists, no matter how many political videos you think that point to Jesus, no matter how many sermons or podcasts you listen to, I shouted out Wiley. I like to pick on Wiley. Wiley loves these really cool like edits of preachers that like yell at people. So ask him for his taste in those things. But no matter how many things, yeah, you're quoting. It's like rich now, dead for eternity, whatever that is. I don't know. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't remember. It's too loud. I go deaf. I'm old. But, you know, the thing is, it's no matter how many of whatever things you associate with that are not true gospel and just makes you feel good, that's not going to change the fact that you're guilty. It's not going to change the fact that we are all guilty of sin. Our third point is that we deserve punishment. Sin separates us from God. We are all guilty of sin. And point three, we deserve punishment. Let's look at verse 32, the end of chapter 1 in Romans. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice such things. And when we look at this, you know, oftentimes this is something that I think of, but I want us to also look at Romans chapter 6, another probably memory verse for many of us in Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. And I want us to stop there because for me, when I think about these things, there's two statements that I've heard growing up a lot. One of them is all actions have consequences. Many of your parents, coaches, teachers might have told you that all actions have consequences. The more fun, maybe more cruel way to say that is play stupid games, win stupid prizes. To me, that's the one that I like to say, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And that, to me, is what equates to Romans 6:23 for the wages of sin is death. Does anybody here have a job? Hopefully, most of you. Okay. You have a wage that you get paid. Maybe it's minimum wage. Maybe you're just rolling in dough and making like 20 bucks an hour at Home Depot while using the forklift. But your wage is the money or the amount of payment that you are paid based off of the work that you did. So for me, I worked at Polo Ralph Lauren in college at the Dawson Outlets. I made $10.50 an hour. Big bucks. It was great. It's great. Not great. It was great. And the work that I did, every hour that I slaved away, I signed up for the 3 a.m. shifts that packed and folded shirts. I can tell you how to fold the shirts. It's not helpful at all. But every single thing that I did was worthy of that wage because of the work that I did. And for us, I always like to equate that to physical work that we can do for money now. But in our life, for the wages of sin is death, Well, for the sin that we have done, the wage of that, what we are owed, what we deserve to pay is death for the sin in our lives, because we deserve punishment. And again, like we talked about last week in the book of Revelation, this is not some, you know, rager. This is not some place that you go just that the heat stays on a lot and people are just, you know, a little warm, a little sweaty, a little bit of BO. Hell is a very mean and nasty place. Scripture says that there will be weeping and moaning and gnashing of teeth for eternity. The sounds of people crying for help, and also the sounds of people calling out to God in agony because they are separated for eternity and their soul was burning. And so I don't say that to scare you by any means, but I say that to show the weight of our sin has a very real outcome if we do not actually make a decision because of that. And again, oftentimes people ask, well, how can a good and loving God send people to hell? Well, let me correct that question, because oftentimes we try to put a little bit too much blame on somebody that's not our own self. Again, look at our points. Sin separates us from God. Well, that sin is something that we are guilty of, and we deserve that punishment. And so God is no less loving for us going to hell. I would argue that God is actually perfectly just for not allowing anything less than his standard of perfection into heaven. So for us today, I don't want us to think, well, it's God's fault, not my own. No, actually, it's 100% our fault, which we just talked about. This is not me doing sin. This is me being sin to my core. We are all sinners. And again, you're like, Luke, in your intro, you said you weren't going to like yell at us. There's great news. But we deserve punishment. And for us today, this is not a game. This is not something that we can decide to do just when we get close to dying. I got a text from a guy that I work with, and there's a pastor in Indiana. His name is Vody Bauckham, and he died today. And again, thank goodness that he had a relationship with the Lord, that all fruit would point to him being gone here and immediately with God in eternity. But he woke up this morning, again, not thinking, oh, well, I need to get my life right because I'm going to die about 2 o'clock. That's not what he woke up thinking. Again, loves the Lord, did everything right by most of people's standards. Woke up today, and midway through this afternoon, he woke up in eternity. And again, so for us today, this is not something that we can just like flirt with the line of like, oh, let me get close to death, and then I'll just like, I'll repent and it'll be good. No, this is a right now decision that every single one of us have to make sure that we make at the right time. And so think back to what we talked about at the beginning. When we know how bad our sin is, we can be reminded of how good God's grace and mercy truly is. So for us today, there's 3 things I want to give us on how we can really just protect ourselves against sin that we are all riddled with. The first thing is, don't flirt with sin. I want you to flee from it. And when I say don't flirt with sin, I genuinely mean the word flirt. Some of you guys, I watch y'all in here before and after service, and you think you're good flirters, and you're not. I was talking with somebody, I guess week 2 or week 3, and his brother and his buddy were like, man, he's over there, like, he's getting her number, he's getting her number. And I was like, he's standing awkwardly with his hands in front of him, and he's just like hoping she notices him. And of course, it worked out, which somehow, you guys, it worked. I don't know. But when you think about flirting, it's how close you can get to the line of... You guys are like, oh, hey, you look good today. And you walk away and you run away and you scurry. It's like, hey, I saw you. Chow. It's really good. And you get really close and you run away. Get really close, you run away. So when I say don't flirt with sin, I mean just that. God does not establish his standard of perfection for us to see how close to a line we can get and not get in trouble. God gives us our standard of what we are to do in our life so that we can see that and we can flee and turn the complete other way and flee from it. So don't flirt with sin. The second thing that I want us to do is to get accountability. For me, I probably would say truthfully that I did not start taking my faith in Jesus seriously until college here at UNG. I grew up in a pastor's home, and you're like, so was your dad just a bad preacher? No, honestly, he's probably one of my favorite preachers. But I didn't take it seriously. I grew up, I was there every single time the doors were open, like I was that poster pastor's kid, always there. But until I started dealing with the sin that I had in my own heart, and get genuine accountability for somebody to look at me and go, hey, Luke, I saw you talking to all those girls and I saw you pass your phone around. You stand up late and texting them things you shouldn't? Hey, Luke, you were late to church and I know that you were like up super late doing things you shouldn't on Saturday night. Like, what's up with that? Hey, Luke, we're roommates and you haven't opened your Bible other than to take the picture for Be Real. Like, what's going on? And again, it's funny, But it's also legit. When our sin gets fully out in the open and somebody that loves you and cares about you, again, this is not mocking, this is not making fun of, this is not trying to zing somebody just to make their feelings hurt. This is, hey man, I genuinely love and care about you and I want you to have a life that glorifies and honors the Lord. What does this discipline look like for you in your life? So get accountability. That was the best thing for me, and scripture teaches that is honestly the best thing for all of us. And then thirdly, pursue God's design. Pursue God's design. For us to be able to see victory over sin, oftentimes not to make it super simple, but if we can not flirt with sin and flee from it, if we can get accountability for the sin in our life and then we can pursue God's design, these are some tools for success to be reminded not of the damage and defeat that sin brings, but to be encouraged and reminded of the mercy and grace that God provides. So again, I was a PE major, but I want to show you guys some of my pretty artwork. So I'm going to draw something. And it's going to be on the screen, but I want to show you how simple it is to draw it, because this is an awesome tool for each and every one of us in here to be reminded for how we can combat sin. This is our worldview. Oftentimes, especially with all the Charlie Kirk stuff, we will wrestle with like, well, I got to just dive into politics and get my worldview straight because someone's going to argue with me. Man, I've got to watch all these apologetics videos because if somebody asks me, you know, does a good and loving God condemn genocide because somewhere in the Old Testament, God promised the slaughter of babies. What does that mean? I've got to think of the most crazy and outlandish. This is our worldview. This is what the life of a believer should represent. And so as we talked about, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God's design was perfect. Everything was perfect. There was a perfect harmonious relationship with Jesus and those on the earth being Adam and Eve. There was a perfect harmony where there was no need for some intercession. Everything was perfect. But just like we talked about tonight in the book of Romans, because of this word, sin, we flee God's design. We run and we flee God's design. And when we do that, again, we're running away from God towards the God that we choose. May it be status, may it be money, may it be any sort of thing that we can wrestle with. But oftentimes, when we run from God's design, our life, we experience something that we like to call brokenness. And again, brokenness is not a Christian term. This isn't every single person on the face of the planet has experienced this term. You can be a Muslim in the Middle East and you will in some way experience brokenness. You can be an atheist in London. You can experience brokenness. You can be someone who's been in church every single day of your life in Dahlonega, Georgia, and you can experience brokenness. And because we have fled from God's design, we are running away from what God has planned for us, and we're experiencing brokenness. Now, of course, because everybody can experience brokenness, we all are looking for a way out of brokenness. We all hate it. The broken families, the everything that we experience that we hate, we try to fix it with things like sex and relationships. Man, if I could just get this girl, get this guy, if I could just get married, all my problems will be fixed. Or if I could just make this money and just have a good job, if I could just get a good paying job, all my problems will be fixed. If I could just make this status or get this level or get this rank, whatever it might be, everything will be fixed. Or, you know, it could be the numbness of alcohol or drugs that you're like, man, if I can just forget all the crap that I'm going through right now, everything will just be better when I wake up. And then somehow, unfortunately for all of us, every single time we try to fix our own brokenness, it leaves us more here than ever. Every single time that we try to fix it, we end up further and further from God's design. But again, we talked about Romans 6:23. If we can get that verse back up real quick, I'm so sorry, Chris. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what we know is that because God loved us so much, he did not intend for us to stay with this broken relationship. This sin that separated him, giving us up to the lust and the desires of our heart, the goal of God, because he is loving, because he is just, is not for us to sit there just going through the lust and the passions of our heart with where death and eternity is separated in hell. It's because he loves us so much that he sent his son down from heaven, Jesus, and he lived a perfect life. And he died on a cross, was buried for 3 days, rose again on the third, walked around with real people like you and myself for 40 days, and then like we studied in Acts 1:8 last week, those were his final words where he talked about taking the gospel to each and every nation, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Those were his last words after he rose from the dead. And so for us today, you're thinking, well, how do I get from here back to here? We need to repent and believe that Jesus is Lord. We need to repent, and by repent, that's a church word or a Bible word that means, but honestly, it's not even a Bible word, it's just the English word, where you literally just, you're going one way, we are pursuing sin, and you literally turn and repent and turn to pursue God's design. So when I say, or when you say, like, Luke, I need to repent from my sins, what that means is that I acknowledging that I'm a sinner, and I'm saying, I'm sick and tired of trying to fix it on my own, because newsflash, if we are the problem, we can also not be the solution. I'm tired of the numbness that I feel. I'm tired of the hatred that I feel if I'm not this. I'm tired of the emptiness that I feel with this or whatever we're trying to fill it with. I either turn from that lifestyle and believe that Jesus was who he said he was and make him King, Lord, and Savior over my life. And oftentimes we're like, yeah, and God saved me, God saved me. But he is the furthest thing from Lord in your life. And so when I say that, that's not to make you feel bad, but scripture teaches that through the price of Jesus on the cross, that he is Lord and Savior, not Lord or Savior. In order for us to see and experience the salvation from this sin that we all have just talked about, we are guilty of, and we deserve death and separation, we need to make Jesus the Lord of our life. So when we talk about worldview, this is our worldview. This is the foundation that everything that we say and do and think should be based on. Every single thing needs to be based on the good news of Jesus. And then when we do that, we can restore and be renewed back into what God's design originally was for us. And you're saying, well, Luke, I'm a Christian and I feel like I've done this, but life is the furthest thing from this right now. Unfortunately, because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner and everybody else around us is a sinner, our world is toast, completely broken, furthest thing separated from God. But what we do know is that because somebody pays for our sin, we have the option to be restored back to this in eternity, and that's in heaven. And again, scripture gives us many promises. And the coolest thing about scripture is that there's never been a promise that was given in the Old Testament that was not fulfilled in the New Testament. And here's another thing that we're promised in the Old Testament and New Testament is that somebody is going to pay for your sin. Lucky us, it can be Jesus. So again, you get to the gates of heaven, the Lord is there, and he says, yeah, God, I did it kind of my way, but I was really nice. Unfortunately, that's not the outcome that we would say that we want. But if we have repented and believed in the good news of the gospel, then we're not looked at through the lens of broken, filthy, rotten sinner Luke Kinsey. We're looked at through the lens of, that's my son, Jesus Christ, who was perfect. The only possible person that could have paid the price for my sin. Kayla just sang that song, Living Hope. Jesus is our living hope, that if we believe, make Jesus our Lord and Savior. That is the lens in which God the Father looks at us and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not because I've done anything or you've done anything, but because of simply believing and having faith that Jesus was who he said he was and did what he said he did. And when we can be restored to God's design, we now are tasked and are blessed with the opportunity to take God's design to a world around us that we all know is still extremely lost and extremely broken. So if you're in here today and you're like, man, I need that. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Your life is still camped out right here. I'm begging you to find myself, Anne Marie, any of our leaders with lanyards, anybody that you know, a good friend that just invited you today and this is your first time. Ask them to help you understand. Ask the questions. If you don't ask questions, you won't get answers. I do not want anybody to leave here today without at least thinking and processing to themselves, what would my life look like if I stopped living here and started pursuing this? So if you need to have those questions answered, please find one of us. And again, if you're in here and you're like, Luke, I'm all fired up, I'm bought in. I want us to cast some vision together. Imagine what would happen if just this 8 o'clock service pursued God's design. Imagine what would look different if everybody in here simply said, you know what? I'm tired of pursuing all these things because I get brokenness. I'm running from God. I want to run to God. I want to pursue God's design. I'm tired of letting sin make me feel defeated. I want to live in the freedom of what God's grace and mercy truly is. What would happen? And then now include the 6 o'clock service. Then include all the other campus ministries. Imagine the revival that would happen specifically in this dumb mountain town of Dahlonega, Georgia, because every single one of us said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of letting the world and culture and media dictate what I do and how I think and what I say. And it's about time that I started pursuing what God's word said. Our entire world will be changed because of 3 simple circles. It's time for us to stop living in defeat because of our sin and understand the doctrine of sin and understand that there's nothing that we can do other than the good news of Jesus that can point us back to God's design. So tonight, you know, we've talked about a lot. And next week, we're talking about the doctrine of baptism. If you've been here for any number of semesters, you might remember a baptism night last semester or last year, which was awesome. And we're gonna do the same thing. We're gonna give anybody in here that has made the decision to follow Christ, that has not taken that step in obedience to be baptized, we're gonna give them that opportunity. And guys, there's nothing special about baptism. Pastor Josh Allen is gonna teach on this next week. Nothing special about the water in baptism. It's not some mystical thing that we've anointed oil and prayed over. Talked about it in the first service. It's just hose water. But here's what it does represent. That water does represent that I was living a broken and sinful life separated from Christ. But because of what Christ did for me, I'm buried in likeness of his death, but I'm raised to walk in the newness and freedom of life that his sacrifice on the cross paid for me. So if you have any questions about baptism and you're like, Luke, I need to do that. I need to take that step. Your step is the same. You need to find one of our team because we want to help you take that step of obedience. And one of my great friends, her name is Grace, and she has seen this victory in her life. She's told her story and she's like, you know what? I was one way before Christ and I'm totally different after Christ, and Jesus has changed my life. And she's gonna get baptized next week. And so what I want us to do to end service is we're gonna have Grace tell her story. But I don't want any of us to wrestle with the fact that sin is real and we don't need to be living in the bondage of that sin, but the freedom of Christ. So watch this story.
Hi, my name is Grace. I'm a student at the University of North Georgia. I grew up in a Christian household. My parents always brought me to church. I was in church my whole life. I kind of had this like mask on, like when I would see other people, I would act, you know, like, just fine, but really deep down, I just had like such a hardened heart towards God and like did not want a relationship whatsoever. I struggled a lot with anxiety and depression growing up. And that also just caused me to have just a lot of anger towards God. And I just was like, why am I going through this? Why am I suffering with all these things? In my friendships and like relationships all throughout middle school and high school, I just really found my worth like in those friendships and like really found a lot of like validation in that. And so that really like added on to a lot of anxiety and depression because I was always thinking like, what are these people gonna think of me? Like, is what I said wrong? Like, is what I'm doing wrong? And like that anxiety, it just got so bad and it just like accumulated to this huge like jumbled mess. And it was like throughout middle and high school, I was honestly just like such a mess. I was kind of like in and out of counseling. I never really took anything from it. I would go just kind of be like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really want to apply it to my life. So then I came to University of North Georgia my freshman year, and my roommates, like the first month or so of school, they were like inviting me to church and like campus ministries, and I was just like, no, I really don't want anything to do with that. Later in my like freshman year, I just started feeling this like pull towards God. I just was struggling so much with a lot of stuff, and I truly like did not like being at North Georgia at the time, and I was just like kind of miserable, and I was still like in this relationship, and I had like lost some of my friendships during that. And I was just struggling with so much. And it just came to a point where I was like I just came to God, and I had so much anger still just like in me. And I just was like, God, I don't know what to do, but here's all of my mess. Like, I just need help. It was over the span of a couple of weeks where I would just go to him, like, bawling my eyes out. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do. This is it's a heavy burden for me to carry. Like, I just need you, and I want, like, your presence. Like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. So that's, like, truly when I really just, like, gave my life to Jesus. And ever since then, like, I have been like a living testimony of like how he can transform people's hearts. Because like, if you would have asked me maybe like 5 or 10 years ago, like if I had a relationship with Jesus, I probably would have like laughed in your face. The way he transformed my heart and my mind was just like so amazing to me. And like he truly just like showed me his character. And so I would like start going to the Word for just like learning about God instead of going to the world. So my decision for getting baptized is I really have just been realizing that like my life is to glorify God, and that my life is for God, and that I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living for a bigger purpose, and I want to show everybody that I can and tell everybody that like Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he's the one who I'm living for. And if you're interested, I would absolutely just be so excited for y'all to just join me in celebrating just all the baptisms that are going to be happening the baptism weekend, and just seeing what God can do in your life and in others' lives too.